Blog Talk Radio.
The motherfucking saga continues.
Yo, yo, what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cuff. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond. Blech.
What's up with it, y'all? Man, don't change that down. This your player partner, the legendary Cocaine. And you tuned in live to Off the Cuff Radio. Better not touch that down. Wait.
Yeah, this is Cassidy, the hustler. And right now, you listening to the Guillotine. Show them the respect they deserve, man. Off the Cut Radio, man. Y'all already know how they doing it, man. I need y'all to stay tuned. They've been doing it for years. So show them the respect they deserve. And you heard it out of bars, mom. Easy.
Keep it moving like this. Yo, this your boy Rampage. You're not rocking with the best. With Off the Cut Radio. Classic. History. Fix your face to all you haters. We off the cuff, baby.
What's up, everybody? This your girl, Bonnie Dollars, the queen of trap, representing Crenshaw, and you are now tuned in with Off the Cuff Radio. What's up?
What's up, y'all? This is Miss Irresistible, giving a shout-out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio, and I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
What it ain't, what it do. Chilly Chill from that original Lynch Mob. Off the Cuff Radio, always where it's at on Friday night. West West, y'all.
Sometimes
yeah, Beach Ball Black Sinatra. It's like they woke up to cranking, man.
This what we all been.
I can hear Godzilla walking on the floor. Yo, Imam.
Check it, yo, yo, yo. 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 Check it, yo, yo, yo.
Slim fit, yet I stay on my muscle game. Play yourself, don't look at me, I ain't the one to blame. My reach is long, I'm on for more. One butt and push, that ass is gone. Never take a man kindness for his weakness. Picked it, rocked him, then I threw him in a sleeper. Queensbridge hit, spitting flames through your speaker. When they try and say you can't read, make a classic, then tell them, shut the fuck up, you dirty bastard. And never interrupt the ones that's doing it. Yeah, we moving it, uncut, crooked shit. That means we got the boys dope on the block. Lyrical morphine flows for you to cop. Knocking in your drop top, knocking in your truck. Knocking in the streets is that new Imam Thug. Knocking in the streets is that new Imam Thug. Let's go,
Twiggy. We on our grind like all the time. That's why we always win it. We from QB Munchy. Now please tell me what was you thinking? You know we got that work, we got that heat, we keep that fire. And when we drop this hit, it's only gonna take you higher.
Queensbridge, give a fuck about your feelings. Don't even try and hate, take down your buildings. Been grinding on these blocks for years, it appears. You trying to cause dissension in the ranks. Sipping on a Henny mix with amphetamines, huh? This is Kruger, huh? You fucking with that real, huh? Use your face as a coaster. Early morning closing deal, sipping on mimosa. If you don't like us, we don't like you either. Fuck around if you want with that QB either. Imam Thug, Imam Bomb, Imam Grizzly. Legendary Kendall Black, tell me can you handle that? King shit is Queensbridge forever. Get it sewn in your dome like a butter soft leather. King shit is Queensbridge forever. Now it's sewn in your dome like a butter soft leather. Let's go.
We on our grind like all the time. That's why we always win it. We from QB Munchy. Now please tell me what was you thinking? You know we got that work. We got that heat. We keep that fire. And when we drop this hit, it's only gonna take you higher. Imam Thug. And you ain't never gonna stop.
Ain't never too much, ain't never too much.
mind. He ain't never gon' stop. He love it too much, he love it too much.
Now tune in to episode 417 of Off the Cuff Radio. That joint we just played right there is from our guest tonight. And let me tell y'all, man, I don't want to hear nothing about you young cats trying to tell these legends to hang it up, because that track right there proved that he can hang with the big, hang with the young gunners, the OGs, whomever you want to put on the table, man. I am your host, King Eric, and this show is sponsored by Buddy Boy Entertainment, Screwball Radio, Jesse Boutique, Core Financial, Fleetwood and the Cod Pickers, you name it. I got my host, T-Match with the Facts in the building.
What a do, what a do. Another fantastic Friday night of Off the Cuff in the building. Shout out to our co-host from Spirit Lot of Sandman, Lady Chinchilla. That is King Eric being the head pilot. I'm the co-pilot, T-Max. And King, once again, we got another super magnificent spagdiliocious show taking it back to those infamous QB Burrows. Tell everybody about our guest tonight.
Man, let me tell y'all. You heard him on War Report. You heard him do songs with Tragedy Gaddafi, the Iron Sheik's EP. You heard him on the QB Finest joint. He's done a whole lot of songs with a lot of your favorite MCs from QB. He's been putting it down for almost 20-plus summers, if not longer than that. But here to discuss what he's doing lately, his come up, his journey, his grind to where he's bossed up today and still delivering the dope music that we all appreciate. What's all welcome? E-Man Thug, y'all.
Yeah. Check it, yo, yo, yo.
Yes, sir.
Peace and blessings. Peace and blessings, my brothers. Peace and blessings.
Peace and blessings, man. The incredible E-Man. What it do, man. Great to have you with us.
Oh, man. Thanks for having me, man. It's an honor and a pleasure to be here, man. I really appreciate it. That's a whole fact. Yeah.
Definitely, definitely. Look, like King
Don't
said,
be
man, you've been holding.
Time intro.
Yeah, man.
Ooh. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's that work right there.
Yeah, man. Look, Iman, like King said, man, you've been holding down for 20-plus summers with bars harder than the riots at Attica, being up against the wall, man. I mean,
yeah.
You know, you're a living legend representing the projects, man. I mean, you know, like you said, you got a story to tell, man. I guess we get right to it. Tell us a little about yourself, you know, your history, how you got in, because we got a lot to get to.
Absolutely, absolutely, man. Well, you know, shit, man, growing up in Queensbridge, man, you know, young, it's things like that, man. I was never really into being an MC, you know what I'm saying? Me being an MC wasn't really what I was into. You know, I was into the streets like a lot of other, you know, saying, young homies, you know, coming from the projects, from QB in particular. And, I was just looking for a way to, kind of stay off the street a little bit, things like that, man. And Tragedy, you know what I'm saying? You know, Tragedy, man, my good friend Trash, you know, man, my childhood homie. He wanted to contribute to me being off of the street, man. He said, yo, man, I got this going on. He was working on the War Report. And he said, yo, man, just come hang out. And he just wanted me to just, you know what I'm saying, try to find something to do other than, you know what I'm saying, you know, being out, you know, wilding up on the street and stuff like that. And that was that worked for me. So I started working like the street team and stuff like that.
Definitely.
Bye.
Now, one thing about it. Yeah, man. Go ahead, King. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I was acknowledging that. Like, that's live because, you know, you coming from Queensbridge, and that's a line. It's like a legacy of spitters coming out there, and you getting your start. Like, who was your musical inspirations in doing this?
Oh, man. I mean, Man, my musical inspiration, man, goes from deep, man. I mean, you talking about, like, you know, I witnessed Craig G get his first record deal when we was, like, in junior high school, man. That was mind-blowing. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, seeing tracks, like, you know, coming to himself as an MC, you know what I'm saying, was mind-blowing. You know, Marley Marl, you know, everybody, MC Shan, even Nas, you know what I'm saying? Nobody knew that Nas could spit, man. He came out of nowhere. Like, the people on his block, I guess, in his immediate circle knew, like Wiz and you know, God Bless Airwell and stuff like that, Jungle, they knew, but most of the project didn't know how nice that song was, you know what I mean? So, yeah, the inspiration came from everybody. I think everybody was inspired by one another. But what really inspired me overall was one day Man Trash was going to Platinum Island to go see Havoc to get a beat for the War Report album. And when we walked in there, yeah, man, when we walked in there, I saw, like, you know what I'm saying, all the homies, man. I saw, like, Godfather. You know, everybody was in there writing and stuff. I was like, yo, what the fuck is going on, son? You know, and so looked at me like, oh, it's Pop. I was like, the murder music shit was banging. I was like, yo, what's really happening there? So that's when I started to, like, really realize, like, you know what I'm saying, like, all my homies was really, you know what I'm saying, was really tapping in. You know, it was really tapping in. You had the Mob, you had the Infamous Mob tapping in, you know. Then you had, you know, Trash, of course, you know, and Molden singing in. And it, I guess it was, like, really, like, only right for me to, like, come from that, man. You know, it was right for me to contribute what I thought I had to offer, you know.
Definitely. Now, Iman, when you look at QB, arguably in the hip-hop hierarchy of royalty, QB probably stands, if not at the top three of most influential. When it basically reads like a damn all-star Hall of Fame greatest ever list of the MCs. I mean, we're talking about Lakey the Kid, you know, we're talking about Foul Monday, we're talking about V12, Nas,
Facts.
You know, Tragedy,
the Black Sinatra,
itself.
Let's
I
be
mean,
clear.
Yeah,
hold on, let's back up, V12, the
yeah.
Black Sinatra.
Yeah, man, the Black Sinatra of the Hood.
Yeah.
I mean, Roxanne Shante, MC Shan, a good friend of ours we've had on the show a couple of times. You know, Godfather, Infamous Mob, Big Twin. I mean, all of them. I mean, did
Absolutely.
You, coming up, Dunn, I mean, you know, with the Dunn language, I mean, Dunn, did you know at the time, did all of you realize from the nascent beginnings of what y'all were doing, kicking it out there in the Q Borough, man, shout to 41st and 40 side. Did you all know what you all had? Yeah, did you all know what y'all had there in terms of what you all would eventually become, making this incredible, indelible print on not only the music, but influencing the culture in general?
I don't think so, man. I think that we was just, you know what I'm saying, we was just living. You know what I mean? I think that everybody was just living and everybody was spitting their reality bars on how they saw life in Queensbridge through their own eyes. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's why everybody, you know, just got their own story. You can hear things from, you know, different people from Queensbridge and it'll hit you different ways. That's why when they hear Imam Thug and when they hear this new body of work I got coming out with this Immortal Legend project, you know what I'm saying? That shit's going to be, like, super because it's, you know what I'm saying? It's something different. You know what I mean? It's from the projects, but it's still something different.
Hey, you know what, though? I want to ask you this, though, because, you know, we're going back to the War Report time period when you guys were recording that album. And I always had this question here. I want to ask one of you guys that was affiliated with that album, like the song you was featured on, Driver's Seat. Was that really Busta Rhymes getting hyped up in there, or y'all just had somebody else on there? Because he wasn't credited at all.
Nah, that was really Busta. That was really him, man. I mean, actually, you know, I picked the phone up when Busta called. Man, Nori was in the booth, and, man, Trav is in the studio, and Busta called, and I picked the phone up, you know what I'm saying? Boom. But nonetheless, you know what I'm saying, when Busta came up, you know what I'm saying, Trash, you know what I'm saying, was like, yo, I just need you to do the ad-libs on the end. You know what I'm saying? That's basically what Trash asked him to do. And that's what he did. And that's, you know what I'm saying, that's what that was. You know what I'm saying? It was nothing more than that. But it was still added to, you know what I'm saying? He sprinkled some flavor on there, man. You know what I'm saying? That's what Trash, you know what I'm saying? That's what he did. That's what he does. You know? That's what I learned also. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to sprinkle a little flavor on that, on your food.
Yeah, because that brought some extra energy to that track there. I mean, I was just curious to know.
Absolutely.
Because I was like vibing to the joint, then I hear Busta coming on, and you know, we being music heads, we looking at the credits, and we like, yo, where this dude at? How he just jump on the track?
Yeah. I mean, that's not. It just was the design like that. You know what I'm saying? Trash design. It was designed a certain way. You know, I picked the track. You know, we were going through tracks, man. You know, I was listening to a lot of different songs that Naughty America was playing, and I picked that beat. I took it home. I wrote it. I wrote the chorus. I wrote my verse. We went back to the studio the next day. I laid it, and then and Slime Guard heard it. You know what I'm saying? And he automatically, you know, jumped into his, you know what I'm saying, whole matrix with it. You know, and that's what makes it, that's what makes everything work too. Everybody just do what they do, you know what I'm saying, as artists and shit like that in the camp, and that's what makes the shit pop, you know what I mean? You know, and then Busta was just an added flavor to the end, you know, just a little added flavor for the fans and shit like that, you know what I'm saying? That worked for everybody. Yeah, salute to Busta Rhymes too, man. That's a fact. Salute to Busta Boss, man.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing getting his flowers because of that ELE 2 album was crazy. Like,
that's the whole fact.
About you guys.
Absolutely.
What's dope about what you guys are bringing to the table is one of the songs that you was featured on with Trash, the Illuminati song.
Yeah.
Us being down south there, that just hit us different, man.
Yeah. Not the only ones. I hear that a lot, man. Across the planet, I hear a lot of people get that same vibe and that same energy, man, you know. And that just lets me know that, you know, Salute is dealing with some high potent, you know, potion. You know what I'm saying? Which is still there. You know what I'm saying? We all got the potion. Everybody got their own potion. You know what I'm saying? CNN got their potion. You know what I'm saying? Salute, you know what I'm saying, to CNN. Chad got his potion. Imam Thug got his potion. You know, so yeah, it's all good shit.
Yeah, and I mean, one thing about it, man, in terms of how y'all move, you know, QB has just always been known for just being unapologetic and the real, man. I mean, when you really got to writing in terms of really getting serious about it, like, tell us about the first rhyme that you wrote and just what it was like actually going into the studio in terms of, like, really laying down those lyrics.
Wow. Well, for me, like, I learned how to write and rhyme, like, at a rapid pace, you know, more so than the usual artist would learn. So I kind of like, you know what I mean? I compressed it, so I kind of still had a lot to learn, but being that I was so compressed, it came out at the time that it came out. I'm not sure if that makes sense, but let me try to elaborate a little bit more. You know, my first round was called All We Love Is the Chrome. You know what I'm saying? That was me, Tragedy, and Capone, produced by Stretch Armstrong. That was the same time that, I don't even think anybody ever heard that record before, but that was around the same time we was doing LALA and all that shit was coming out. Me, Tragedy, Capone did a song called All We Love Is the Chrome. You know what I'm saying? Official. But then, you know, I started, like, doing other shit. We started doing more of the Iron Sheik shit, man, Tragedy, and different things like that, and, you know, more of the freestyles, the Tony Touch freestyles, DJ Clue, you know, DJ Clue with Mace and everybody, you know. So, yeah, when they put me in that song with Mace, I was only rhyming for, like, 90 days, you know, when they threw me in that mix like that. So, you know, I stay ready. It don't matter. I stay ready for whatever the mission is. I've always been that way.
Now, speaking of the mission, when you talk about you doing the LALA sessions, you know, we all know about how that situation kind of was triggered. What was the feeling around New York around that time when that whole situation, you know, with the Doll Pound and everything, when pretty much all of that situation was really just kind of not so much at its apex, but when there was kind of those tensions going on at the time?
Well, you know, things, you know, the energy was up, you know, the energy was up, the air was thick, of course, you know, there was a lot going on with a lot of, East Coast, West Coast, you know, of course, you know what I'm saying, you know, things jumping off with Nas and Tupac, and, you know, that word came back to the hood, too, you know, we was like, you know,
the hood was like, yo, what's the vibes? You know what I mean? So, you know, we always need to hold the hood down. That's what we do. We take care of one another. You know, that's what we originated as a community. Queensbridge is a community, you know, overall. But, yeah, the air was thick, man. It was just all about just, you know what I'm saying, holding down our area, man. You know what I'm saying? Holding down New York, holding down our area. And I just came home from up north, so, you know, for the second time, you know. So I Chad is basically telling me this is what's going on. So, you know, we just shooting a video, you know, just being in our natural form, man, throwing bodies in the trunk off the bridge, just being in our natural state, man, in regards to just displaying that on the screen, you know, in a video form for people to see. And it was just a lot of fun.
And man, was wild about that time as well was there was no internet. Like, any time that you seen that person, it was on. It was no talking.
Yeah.
He was going to knuckle up or throw down.
That's a whole fact. That's a fact, man. That's a fact. It was a beautiful time, man. We had a great time, man. Me, I was young, you know what I'm saying, as an artist. And different things like that, but I had a great time, you know, creating the songs and all of the classics that people know, you know what I'm saying, that they know me from, like the True Confessions, the Illuminati, you know, the Driver's Seat, you know, the Thug Planet on the War Report 2. That was the first single off of there with War Report 2. You know, I'm very proud to be a part of that, you know what I mean, and have delivered for them. You know, on that project, you know. So I take all my missions, you know, very, very, very important. And, you know, it means a lot to me. All my work means a lot to me.
Well, one thing about it, man, is to see you, you know, over 20 years later, still put in the work, man. And, you know, to watch your IG and to see you living your best life and really enjoying yourself, man. I mean, this is part of what we do with the show in terms of really wanting to give respect, you know, and honor to those. I mean, because it's, you know, how does it feel to be a distinguished veteran in the game in terms of still being relevant, still keeping it raw like Uncut Bolivian, and to still, you know, be able to, you know, just do it at a high level and still have those fans out there, you know, just saying how much they love and appreciate your work?
Well, for me, to be totally honest with you, I feel like I've been incubated. Like I've been in a time capsule for a period of time. You know what I mean? So, you know, me coming out right now and being able to transcend my music and transcend my style, you know, in real time, you know, is something that I'm here for. You know, I'm just here for it. You know, it's like I don't have to do it, but I'm here for it. You know, I'm here to deliver. I'm here to step up to the challenge, you know. So, yeah, I've been in a time capsule for quite some time. I haven't been able to really express myself in an art form freely the way I've wanted to, you know. So right now I feel like I'm able to do that. And, yeah, man, I'm just like right where I started from, I feel like, with an extra booster shot, so to speak.
Definitely. Now, when you look at
the game, it's part of my immortality, man. It's part of my immortality concept. You know how you can, you know, yeah. That's where the immortality concept comes from. Immortal legend and all that comes from where people deem you dead, but you still come back and, you know, you come back in a different form, man, and you elevate. You know, yeah. That's what immortality is. That's the immortal legend right there. That's the immortal thug right now, where he's at right now.
Yeah, I mean. And your name, I mean, evokes leadership, you know, and power in terms of, you know, transitions and all that.
Yes.
From where you started back in the day, where do you see hip-hop different from in terms of the rhyme styles to fashion to even street notoriety? Because, you know, my brother King, he's 37, I'm 43. We are older, but we're not old. We're children of the culture. So we've watched these paradigm shifts over the years in terms of how the game has changed through the through how it has been marketed, through how the rhyming is, through social media, how people portray themselves. You as an artist, how have you seen the game change from those elements of marketing, style, and reputation among artists, as well as the business?
Well, for one, business is always business, and I think that that should always be put in the forefront, you know, and besides the art form. You know, since the art always should be, there should be no price on the art. The art should always be a free form, in my opinion. But the business has to be handled accordingly, because this is the music business, you know what I mean? So if you're not doing business accordingly, then you may be doing yourself an injustice, in my opinion. So,
right.
You know, if you know, you gotta address the music business like you would address any other business. You know, I address this project, this Immortal Legend project and contract that I'm under like I would address any other contract that I will be under on any other my other firms. That's, you know, so yeah, the business is serious. But as far as the art form goes, I think, you know, wherever we take it. You know, I think the art form goes wherever we take it. But for me personally, you know, there's a message involved in the whole pursuit of success. You know, the whole pursuit of success, there's a message involved in that in regards to even
thought.
Absolutely. You know, and that message is, you know, that message is self being self-sufficient. That message is economic empowerment. You know what I'm saying? And how do we, you know, obtain the information we need to, you know, get there? That's what I've also learned outside of doing music, is how to be self-sufficient in the corporate world. You know, there's a lot of information that we're not privy to that, you know, that goes, you know, untouched. You know, our people don't even get to touch the money because we don't even know that it's there.
Right,
you know,
right.
So, yeah, so there's a lot of different things like that that I want to tap into with the people once they start to gravitate more to, you know, to me. Then I can have the opportunity to open up and inform them a little bit more about some of these opportunities.
Yeah,
you don't
man.
Understand
I think
how
that's...
important that really is. Like, we live in an information age, and it just doesn't mean it just seems like we live in an information age where information could be found within the press of a Google button or a button. It just seems like people are dumber than ever.
Yeah, but you know what? Sometimes, man, the most tangible things be right in front of our face, but we just don't see it because we're not aware what to look for. So there's a lot of things
right.
that's in front of our face that we can't identify because we don't know what to look for. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Because
you know what I'm saying? If you're not aware of something.
Yeah, it does make sense. Like, you having, like, plate of food in front of you, got to know what's healthy for you.
And some information people just is power.
Got to mix the food with the medicine.
Or the food is the medicine.
Yeah, and I mean, it's about how
right?
you nourish
the food
yourself
is the
in
medicine.
Terms of knowledge.
The food is the medicine. If you take in certain kind of food, that serves as medicine to your body. You understand? That's the science. That's the science behind, you know what I'm saying, juicing and other diet, you know, dietitian practices that people use to keep diseases off of them, man. It's through what they consume in their body. The plants, you know what I'm saying, the seeds and the berries and all of that shit is important for your body, man, your mechanisms, all your fights diseases and all of that kind of stuff. But it's information. If you don't know, you don't know what to look for.
Right.
Well, when you become aware, you can prevent certain diseases, you can prevent certain things, you know what I'm saying, from harboring on your body to help you be more preserved.
Definitely. And one thing about it, man, I mean, proper, you know, one thing about it in terms of the diet as well as what you eat, music diet is also important, too, because when we look at where the era we came up in, you know, I mean, you all just had shit. We was, even as shorties, young shorties we was growing up, we was like, yo, I mean, and this is not being an old man screaming at the sky about the new generation doesn't know about real hip-hop, but we're just blessed that we grew up in an era that we did in terms of having you all really, like, just really laying down a foundation in terms of dope. You know, there was a legacy behind it. I mean, and to see all of you you know, still doing it. I mean, Nas, you know, becoming a businessman. I mean, can't forget my man Littles. Shout out to Littles. Rest in peace, Taheem, man. Who was a movie director with Equal Standard? Yeah, man. I mean,
that was my brother. We grew up since little boys.
Yeah. That hit me like a rock, man, when I heard about it. Because you know, of course. You know, I've known Littles for some years now. You know, great dude, solid as they come. You know, I mean, we were actually trying to get Taheem on the show. I'd had correspondence with him, and we were trying to work out the logistics to have him on because we wanted to talk about his film interests in terms of him directing and, you know, him moving forward, you know, in terms of just the endeavors, because you all have such a story. I mean, the genius that has come out of those Verbos, man. I mean, how have y'all been holding up after that, you know, after his passing? How have y'all been?
It hasn't been easy, I can tell you that. It definitely hasn't been easy. You know, we dealt with a lot of death in Queensbridge, man. A lot of, you know, we've been dealing with death since we've been little kids, man. You know, man, and unfortunately. And, you know, this one right here definitely hit home, particularly for me. And, you know, I felt the pain for Littles, of course, you know, because I know Littles, too. We know each other extremely well, you know. And, yeah, man, you know, it's a different kind of pain, you know. I'm on the phone with Taheem not too long ago, you know, him and I building on the phone, and spitting a lot of math and things like that. So, yeah, it definitely hasn't been easy. But what I do know is that, you know, we're going to represent for Tata. You know, we're going to represent his ambition. You know, we're going to represent, you know, his will and his drive and determination to live his dream. You know, we're going to represent that spirit for sure. You know, that's why I put that little clip on the back of my video, too, for Check It, Yo. We had just finished the video right before, like right after that happened, you know, the video was in the editing room. I was like, yo, man, you got to throw this in here, period. So I sent the shit back. I sent the whole video back. I was like, don't, you know, put him in there at the end and then bring it back to me and so I can finalize that, you know. So that's all. Just respect, man.
Yeah. You know, and,
because it goes back to what you was talking about taking ownership, and because you know with ownership, you control your imagery, you control the stories, and that brother, man,
yes.
That movie he put out about the NYPD, that was heavy.
Yeah,
absolutely. But that, you know, that was the, you know, Taheem definitely, like, Taheem was very ambitious, brother, man. You know what I mean? Like, he's very ambitious, man. He got a lot of, that's a brother who, you know, he got dreams or he got an idea of what he wants to do. And he'll go out and he'll do it. You know what I mean? That's who he is, you know? So, yeah, I was very proud of him, man. I told him that. I told him I was very proud of him, very happy for him, man. And he said to me, he's like, yo, I hear that all the time, but it feels good hearing it from you. I was like, no doubt, son. I was like, no doubt, son. So, you know, yeah, that's a childhood homie, man. I'm just happy, so happy for him, man, and I'm still happy for him. I'm going to continue to be happy for him, man, because, you know, he did something great, man. And, you know, he got a lot of other filmmakers in Queensbridge that, you know, are inspired by his work, you know, that's for sure. Let's see how we can help, you know what I'm saying, push them also to their dreams, man, you know, because that's, you know, that's where – will be that's what he would want too, man. You know, that for someone to be inspired and see them flourish, man. Taheem ain't a selfish dude.
Yeah.
He was,
you know,
not
what
a,
I mean, even
guy.
Then, yeah, and you know, even then, you know, even before the Equal Standard came out, man, I still remember, and finally after like some years, a couple of years ago, I finally saw Murder Music because for the longest,
oh,
you know, in the hood, we had heard about it, but it's like,
yeah,
I'm still waiting on that soundtrack. I was still, because it was like the movie was of an urban legend, because, of course, you know, I still have the rest in peace to Bandana P. I have that Source magazine from 2000 when he was on the cover, and this is when they were talking about it at the time, you know, and about the movie, you know, that he was doing. And it's like, you know, it was, you know, this is before social media. This is before all that. So it's like we were still, like, really just, you know, we were like, we were like, yo, like, where is it? You know, we want to see it. You know, it came out some years later. But it was like we've seen it and was like, you know, it really but to see all of QB repping like they did, man, of course, you know, of course, I mean, Alchemist, of course, Mob, I mean, you know, Nas made it, Chinky was in it, you know what I'm saying? I mean, so many, man.
Absolutely,
you know, it's like,
absolutely.
And this was just, I mean, and the tradition has been carried on. Now, we got to take it back a little bit, because MC Shan was just, he had King and myself cracking up about the story behind the QB compilation. Before we get to that story about how they drug him and threw him in a van and made him come to the studio.
Yeah, it can get a little tricky.
What was that like for y'all in terms of how did that idea for that album to come together? Because, I mean, because we were blessed within a year of getting two banging-ass compilations. Of course, Nas with QB's Finest, and, of course, Lakey the Kid with the 41st Side. How did it come together from y'all in for the QB's Finest compilation?
Well, the QB's Finest compilation, I believe it came out on Violator, man. I believe, I think it was me and Capone Noriega, we were in the studio, and I think that Nori was like, yo, you know, we got to do this joint, boom, 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 for the compilation, so forth and so on. So he was like, all right, cool, you know, so the beat came up, you know, and we were just vibing, man. That's similar like what we do, like we kind of like get in a huddle, and, you know, we just come up with different concepts, man, and, you know, and the shit just happens, man, you know. That's what we do, man. A lot of times if you see me in a picture with Capone Noriega in the studio, we probably huddled up together because we're working on a song. You know what I'm saying? So the QB Finest song, Our Way, was dope. You know, we put it together, all three of us put it together, man. And shit was, you know what I'm saying, came out hot. And it was just a good look for Nas. It was just something, you know what I'm saying, for Esco to present, for Esco to represent for his project and shit like that, man. Whenever we on somebody's shit, we always want to represent, especially if they, you know, if they can QB and shit like that. If Nas asks me to do something, I'm gonna give him that work. You know what I'm saying? Anybody from Queensbridge, I'm gonna give him the work. Absolutely. That's just how
I'm
we
still
take
amazing,
things,
Steve.
Man.
I mean, but to see all of y'all, especially in that time, come together, because one thing about it, when we look at features nowadays, it just seems to be so rushed together with some of these artists out here. But, you know, when we think about video appearances back in the day and, you know, features on albums, it's like, you know, there was a time when we would see like, yo, they got such and such on. Like, it really felt like it was a real coming together of it. And to see all of y'all, what was those sessions like? Just sitting with everybody, just watching this album come together. I mean, with Littles, yourself, Cormega, Mobb Deep, Roxanne Shante, Shan, you know, the Bravehearts, you know, all Black Jungle. Boy. What was it like just for that whole era?
I think it was just basically iconic, man. But one thing, you know, for us, it's really not, you know, it's not really a, you know. Not to play it down or anything like that, but it's really not a big deal for me to be with Jungle. Like, if me and Jungle chilling, we in the lab, we just two niggas from Queensbridge, you know what I'm saying? No, man, on our Queensbridge shit doing what we do. It's not, you know, we don't really see it the way the rest of the world see it. And it's the same way with Nas, the same way with Shante, you know, even with Hot Day, I'm on the phone with Hot Day. It's just like, we just two niggas from Queensbridge just, you know, on our QB shit. You know, and it's just, I don't know, it's just the beautiful essence, you know what I'm saying, of Queensbridge, man. You know, it's indescribable, man. You know what I'm saying? It's indescribable, man. You know, we got that connection between us all, you know, and it's a lot of love there, you know, and it's a lot of talent there, you know, and when we come together, you know, it's nothing but magic that can come from that.
Let's take it away. You guys see it as you guys just doing it with your homeboys and just people that you already knew. It was just like it was just regular business at the office.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, man. It's not the same for us as everybody else, man. It's, you know, when I'm in the studio with Godfather, you know, I knew Godfather for a long time. Like, we all knew each other for our whole lives. Nas knew Imam Thug for his whole life. You know what I'm saying? Jungle knew Imam Thug for his whole life. All these guys know me. We all know each other. So we're not amazed when we're around one another. We just, you know, enjoy being around one another and having that QB, you know what I'm saying, you know, camaraderie around one another, man, and just doing what we do the QB way. That's the energy right there.
Yeah, you know, and one thing about it, man, and you know, it's wild because, you know, you all have a real organic bond because of all of you coming together from the sandbox. So it's like, you know, it's like y'all all hit the hood lottery at the same time because it's like everybody, I mean,
a whole block.
Yeah, you know, all of y'all become big. I mean, and not only big, but, like, you all become legends in the process. You know, of course I can't, you know, forget my man LES. Shout out DJ LES, man. You know,
shout
a good friend
man.
Of mine
That's
as well.
A fact.
Yeah.
That's a fact. LES is family, man. Yeah, me and LES, we know each other very well. Everybody know each other very well, man. That's a whole fact.
Yeah. So in terms of it,
now with y'all coming together with that, not with that compilation, but when y'all do songs, do y'all have like that whole competitive energy as well? Because that's the difference between the 90s and now. Like everybody had to bring their best A game to the mix when they would start writing or putting down songs. Did y'all have that kind of competitive atmosphere?
I think it's always competitive. I think Queensbridge, we have a competitive spirit naturally, you know. However, I think it's more of everybody just getting an opportunity to just lay their shit down. You know what I mean? I don't even think it's too much of a competition. I just think of everybody, you know, a lot of dudes is nice in their own way, and everybody's just having the opportunity to just lay their shit down. You know, it ain't even no competition. These niggas is nice. A lot of niggas is nice. Everybody's confident in what they do, and we just laying it down. I think that's really what it is. But through my eyes, that's how I see it. You know, so I don't see, you know, saying when I'm on a record with anybody that they in a competition with me. When I'm on a record with V12, he's not in a competition with Imam Thug. He's coming to do V12. You know what I'm saying? Imam Thug is not in competition with V12. I'm coming to do Imam Thug. And just us being from Queensbridge make the shit just what it is. And it's the same thing with CNN. I'm not in competition with Capone. I'm not in competition with Nori. We just all coming to lay our shit down, and the shit is just what the fuck it is. And it's with Trash, too. There's no competition with me and Trash. You know, Trash come to do what he do. Imam come to do what he does. And the shit is just what it is. We just have what we have. We got a lot of combustible energy, you know what I'm saying, within, you know, within the camp, you know what I'm saying, pretty much, you know, Queensbridge as a whole.
Yeah. You know, one thing about it with Trag, you and Trag, especially what y'all done, you know, the whole Iron Sheiks thing, I remember going back to like 98, 99, you know, in terms of listening to Thug Paradise. I mean, of course, Bing Monsters, you know, with Against All Odds, you know, it was going to come Against All Odds. That didn't drop till 2001, though, but I mean, all of you were pretty much doing y'all thing during that time, man. I mean, tell us about how that Iron Sheiks project, you know, began to develop.
Well, the Iron Sheik project started to develop after the war report. Like, when we started winding down on the war report, you know, we started to think about, like, what was next, you know what I mean? You know, as far as me and Trav, like, all right, so what's next, you know? So what's next? You know, it was like, okay, well, let's, you know, let's do this, let's do the we're gonna do the Iron Sheik thing. You know, that was the next thing. We started working on songs like Illuminati and True Confessions and stuff like that. Those are the first two songs that was recorded for that EP. And they just went through the roof. Those two records alone went through the roof. We didn't even get a chance to record the whole EP. We just did the two records we recorded, they just took off.
Yeah, And this is like a time, Imam, where, you know, like King said, and like I be saying, this is before social media, so this is like when the mixtape circuit is heavy. You know, DJ Clue,
right.
Ron G, Kid Capri, you know,
yeah.
all of them, Craig G. So it's like, you know, this is like a big
yeah.
thing, like, you know, when you're hearing, like, it's just a certain exclusivity because you know it's not necessarily released to the public in terms of, like, it's not in wide circulation. So when you hear it
right.
and you're getting a taste of what's coming, I mean, it just felt different back in the day. I mean, to hear this and you're like, this is what's coming. And we're like, oh, when we heard True Confessions for the first time, we were like, oh.
Right. Yeah.
We were like,
yeah.
damn.
Yeah. We hear that. I hear that all over the planet, man. All across the globe, I hear that. I get that same response. People really were very receptive to that song, and that's why when I did Tekka Yo Yo Yo, you know, I wanted to, like, you know what I'm saying, kind of like bring some of that energy to kind of remind people of you know what I'm saying, of who I was, but still transcend the music to right now, so it doesn't, you know what I'm saying, sound like, you know, something that came from the 90s, but people can actually be familiar with it. You know, so yeah, it was just that kind of, it was just that type of vibe I wanted to bring with that first record and different things like that. But this Immortal Legend project got so much, you know, man, it's so much on this project, man, that is artistically, man, you know, man.
Tell us about it. Take us through the process of what you did in terms of what inspired you in the process in creating it.
Well, what inspired me to create this new project was just the fact that, you know, I felt that I had to really solidify my stake in hip hop. I think that it was slipping away. I said for some reason I thought, you know, I just felt like it was getting away from me a little bit. So I said, you know what? Let me just grab a hold of this real quick and just make sure that I can, you know, put an official stamp on my presence here. You understand? I didn't want it to be just, you know what I'm saying, a guy who just, you know, who was just here and was just wet. I wanted to be someone who came here and left a stamp on his game. You know what I'm saying? Not just from the work that I did before, but from the work that I got right now. So
yeah.
That was my challenge, to come, to, you know what I'm saying, to bring my best body of work right now that was going to deliver, you know, what I felt was going to be suffice, you know what I'm saying, for the hip-hop community, where they can be, you know, they can be good with it.
Yeah. And I think that's important right now, too, especially when we hear, you know, I was listening to the, Conway's EP, Lulu, and I was listening to the joint, you know, him and Cormega did, you know, they got Sonny. You know, and I was mm-hmm. thinking about Cormega's verse when he said, I'm hearing so many, basically, I'm paraphrasing, I'm hearing a lot of new verses, but I'm unimpressed, you know, and it's like, you know, and when we think about it today, where there are a lot of artists out there doing a lot of dope shit that's really still burning it up out there, you know, we see a lot of artists coming out where they really don't sound inspired, it's not much creative
right.
flow, it's no spirit,
well,
and it's individuals like, yeah. You know, a lot of times there's more followers and impersonators and originators and creators. and, you know, this crux of hip-hop, that's what it's all about, being original and self-expression.
Right.
Pretty much what have you seen over the years in terms of how the game has changed, in terms of how artists do music, and in terms of, you know, the images they try to portray? Because back in the day, man, you know, and we've been blessed to the hundreds of guests we've had on the show. We talked to them from up north, down south, out west. Having a street reputation is something that back in the day, you know, like I said, once again, before social media, this was something that pretty much you were known on the block without the cameras.
Right.
You know, now everybody wants to be a tough guy on camera. Now everybody done sold drugs. Everybody the biggest hitman out there, but back in y'all time,
yeah.
like, it really carried some weight that, you know, I mean, rest in peace to Ill Will, you know, Kung Fu Joe.
Absolutely.
You know, all of them out there, you know, of course, Lakey, I mean, these individuals, you know, Killer Black, rest in peace, you know, all of them were, like, real G's out there, man. how do you feel about how everybody's trying, some of these artists, because some of them are real as they come, but the ones that are maybe exaggerating or outright faking, what do you feel today from that?
What I feel is that you got to watch the exaggerators too, man. The guys who exaggerate and try to make believe, or the guys who are, you know what I'm saying, have the biggest to prove. They have, you know what I mean? So don't ever sleep on the exaggerators and the guys that are out there trying to make believe, man, because those are the guys that take the biggest risk because they feel like they have a lot to prove. So that's number one. We don't sleep on those guys, you know. And you know,
that's
today,
real.
That's a whole fact. So today we know that we're dealing with a different genre of mind states, and people are moving, you know, in a lot of different directions, and there's a lot of different moving parts and different things like that, and especially in the music, and how the images are all being portrayed may not be, you know what I'm saying, to my liking, and, you know, in particular, but it is what it is, man. You know, the music cycle turns. It makes its turns. It shouldn't go never stay in one space. It's going to consistently turn and makes its turns. It's up to the artist to make their adjustments accordingly without compromising, you know what I'm saying, you know, without compromising too much of their artistry. You can't agree with everything. You know what I mean? It's going to be shit that come out. These are things that came out in the 90s that we didn't agree with. You know that?
Right.
A lot of goofy guys came out and with some lot of goofy shit. We was like, yo, what is this shit, man? But, you know, yeah, this is another version of that. Today, I think, is another version of a lot of goofy motherfuckers running around saying and doing a lot of fucking goofy shit.
Yeah.
If that, that makes sense. Fact, not, I don't say, mean to be too crazy with the profanity and all that, but I'm just trying to be
good. I'm being
blatant with it, you know?
No, you're good. No, we have no censors on this show. We are totally self-funded. Say whatever say whatever you feel.
I was going to say, y'all take it back to the Wack X of the 90s. I was his with Ice Baby and all that.
But
yeah,
and you know one thing though, Imam. I mean, when we talk about it, and I'm not trying to stir up a hornet's nest here. A lot of this stuff has already been documented. In terms of where you got rap beefs, we know in QB there were differences between certain artists there. But you know, the worst of it, from what we saw, there was never any, you know. Even when Nas and Cormega had their problems, they spit about it on Wax, but you never really got the impression it was going to go to a street level in terms of that. They had their, you know, there was a disagreement that they had, but there was never a situation where it got like that. But now you seem to have artists out here that are almost desperate to get out there on suicide missions in terms of things, and really try to invite something. Do you believe life and death is in the tongue in terms of where these artists try to talk a certain talk but can't walk the walk when the timbos start falling on them?
Yeah, I believe that. But, you know, that's nothing new. That's old math. You know?
Mm-hmm.
That's old math. You always had guys getting chased to the building and run upstairs and pop shit from the window.
Right.
That ain't nothing new. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I expect that? Yeah, I do expect that. Because you're always going to have, you know what I'm saying, or real G's, you're going to have suckers doing sucker shit. And that's going to always be around. I think it just boils down to the individual, you know what I'm saying, how they handle things, man. You know, that's what I think. If you boil down to the individual, how they handle things, whether it be in the artistry or in the personal, man. It's all about how we handle shit.
Definitely. So who do you feel?
I was going to ask you, going back to your upcoming release, man. Are you going to do like what a lot of these cats is doing? You gonna shoot the video for every song? We need like a mini movie on Wax, man.
Yes, we do.
Well, that's exactly what we're doing. You know, like we are shooting.
Okay.
You know, we are shooting videos for all of our songs on the LP. Yeah, we have our director and everybody under contract for the LP. So, yeah, but it's not just music videos. We have, you know, if you watch the first video, check a Yo-Yo-Yo, and you watch the storyline of how we got that jumping off, then you'll be able to follow it from there on where we take it. So if you haven't seen the video, you need to, like, really hit the link in my bio, check the video out, and actually see, you know what I'm saying, the acting and the plots and different things that we got, you know what I'm saying, going on with that whole play right there.
Definitely. Is it going to be a strictly digital release, or are y'all going to do limited physicals as well?
It's definitely going to be a digital release on all platforms, but we definitely going to have physical copies and different things like that for people to buy. That's for sure. You know, we already got a lot of merch at the merch shop on our IG page. You know, people can go on our IG page and view the shop. They can get all the Imam Grizzly clothing, you know, get on a Grizzly. You know, the Immortal Legend gear is there. You know, all of that good stuff is there. You know, the single is out on all platforms right now. People can download and stream that, add it to their playlist right now as we speak. And we got, like, two different versions to the single, man, that's coming out also, man. We got, like, the house mix to Check It, Yo-Yo-Yo. We got the hip-hop mix also done by my man DJ Blends. And it's just a different way of putting out music, man. You know, we're putting out a record, but we're also putting out different versions of the record also, you know, so it gives people a different, like a diverse option, you know, for the music.
That's dope, man. Now, how do you feel about how physicals, in terms of physical copies on albums, marketing in general? Because, I mean, you know, stuff we used to take for granted in terms of CDs and tapes back in the day, you can look on eBay and see how expensive some of that stuff is now.
Right.
What is your, I mean, I was looking online for a Nas's Illmatic on a cassette, the original 94 press. That thing's going for like $100 right now on cassette.
See, that's more of a merch, not a merch situation, technically it is a merch situation, but it's more like, you know, like when you go and you get like a, you know, a memorabilia type of deal, you know what I'm saying? It's like, people get it just to have, people will get something from the Immortal Legend Project just because they want to, you know what I'm saying, they want to have something that's from that journey.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's really what it is. They want to get something that costs $100 from Illmatic. They buying something that's from that journey. That's why they're paying for that. The people that is on this journey, on this Immortal Legend journey, they're gonna buy an Immortal Legend hoodie with the front cover on it because it's part of the journey. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's why they buy it. They're gonna buy one of the Grizzly bandanas that we have in the video. Why? Because that shit looks cool and it's part of the journey. You know what I mean? So that's why people get this memorabilia. That's why people got War Report stuff still. People still got shit from the War Report. I still got stuff from the War Report. I still got posters from War Report too. It's memorabilia. Even though I'm a part of that movement, but I still got memorabilia. I still got my rhyme books, man, from fucking True Confessions and Driver Seat. Like, I still got that shit.
Looking back on it, how does it feel to know you've reached so many? And to when you look back at those, because like you said, it's part of that that immortal journey. I mean, what is it, just when you think back around that time to like 97, 2000, 2001, mm-hmm. and just now, you know, reflecting, I mean, how does that feel just when you think about the journey of how far you've come, where you're at, and where you're still going?
Well, man, I feel empowered. I feel empowered because I've learned so much. You know, I've learned so much about different aspects of, you know, of the operation. You know, and when I was so young, I knew nothing. You know, so when you know nothing, that means you have a whole lot to learn. You know, we always got a lot to learn, but, you know, when you know nothing, you have a lot to learn. Right now, I've learned so much over the journey of my time. I feel empowered and I feel confident, you know? Absolutely.
that's why I'm doing my best work right now. I can do songs like The Dream, you know, Legendary Candle. You know, when people start hearing these songs come out, when they start hearing these songs come out off this project, it's going to be something like they've never heard before, man. They wouldn't expect this from Imam Thug. That's a fact. They wouldn't think I could do it, basically, you know, some people.
Yeah, you know, when I initially hit you on your page, man, I was just scrolling through everything and just seeing, you know, not only feeling so good that, you know, that for the culture you're doing it, but you just really seem to be in such a enlightened and such a, just such a very happy place, man, in terms of we can really look at your joints and see how much you're enjoying it, like the very first day you decided to commit yourself to it. What is that? That exhilaration, that emancipation, you know, the notoriety of knowing that you have not only achieved, but you have surpassed. What is that? What is that exhilaration? What is, what type of emotions do you feel on the daily, knowing that you, you know, you're still in a place of that creativeness where you know you're, every day you wake up, you're motivated, you know, to move past the margins?
Oh, man, I think I'm just thankful, man. I'm thankful to the Most High, man, just for giving me the ability to be self-motivated, man. You know, that's what it is, man. I'm self-motivated. I love to create my own opportunities. You know, I think there's great power in creating your own opportunities, you know. You're not, you know, I don't think that you should have to wait for someone to give you an opportunity where you can create your own, you know, if that may be the case, you know.
That part.
If that may be the case, you create your own opportunities, great things come from that. I've learned that from, you know, being in business and different things like that. So, yeah, man, I'm just happy, man, that I have the gift. You know, I don't think that it's a skill. I don't think it's a talent. I think that it's a gift, and I'm blessed to be able to have it, man. You know, and I'm gonna share it with the world. You know, that's what it's here for.
Hey, you know what?
Definitely, man.
Also, though, while we talking about appreciation and people getting appreciated in their flowers, regardless of how people feel about it, it's a beautiful thing seeing Nori make that transition into podcasting and bringing a lot of the legends on and making
Shout out to him and Ness for Drink Champs, man.
Absolutely. Shout out to the Slime God, man. You already know. I congratulated him way before his show got big, man. You know, he know the vibes.
Yeah, man. You know, I mean, you know, and to see, you know, him, of course, you know, we're going to be professional calling him Mr. Santiago. You know, to see him really move, you know.
I call him Jose Luis, though, man. That's one of my favorite areas, man. Jose Luis. I just like it when he's on this Jose Luis shit, man, when he's in the studio. And he, that's, you know what I'm saying, that's that work right there. So, yeah, he's always Jose Luis, man, with me, man. I love him when he's on his shit like that. That's a fact. So he's very dangerous, man, when he get on that shit.
Yeah, man. I mean, and to really see the transition, I mean, Nas going into business, you know, you know, Little's being a very successful, you know, manager, you know, A&R guy in terms of artists. I mean, you know, like we said,
listen, Little's is a good businessman, too. Let's be clear.
Little's
is a very good businessman, too. Yes, I know. That's my boy. I know him very well. I know, you know, I have a lot of respect for Littles, man. I know, you know, how he thinks a lot of times, man, you know, and the kid is on point, man. He's always been that way. So I'm extremely proud of him.
Yeah. You know, I mean, when he, and a lot of people don't know this, so we're going to give a little bit of history for those. He's the one that actually was the first to do the first DVD/hip-hop album with The Feeding. He was the first one to do that. You know, a lot of people don't know that.
Wow.
Yeah, I actually have it. I sent him a picture some years back of it, and he was like, whoa.
Littles is a legend, man. That's one of the most hardcore hustlers, man, I've ever known in my lifetime, man. That's a fact, man. You know?
Yeah, but you all have that Littles aesthetic in terms of it. Yeah, man, just to see, you know, the working. Yeah. So take us back to when you started doing the shows, in terms of, like, when y'all really started doing shows, rocking crowds all over the world. And just, what was it like for you just really being able to see, like, people really respond to it?
Well, to be honest with you, man, like, you know, I've never been on tours. Like, I've done, like, a few shows and everything, but I've never been out on tour. I've never been taken out on tour. I've heard about it. You know, I've heard the reception of my music over there. But I have never been over there. I've never been out on tour before. I've done a few tours here and there, different things like that. I guess that's why I have such a magnetic force for the stage right now. I have such a magnetic force for the stage, like for big crowds right now. That's why I'm making big music, you know? I need that. I need that bite right there.
Definitely. What was it like when you started doing shows? I mean, say you hadn't been on tour, but what was it like when you just started doing shows and performances?
Well, I started to learn how energy works, you know? You know, when people... Yeah, I started to learn how energy works. I was definitely scared. Like, not scared, but I was kind of like, you know, a little nervous about being in front of people. I'm a private guy, you know. So, you know, after I got over that, I started to see how energy works, you know. And once I started to study how energy works, I started coming out with more confidence to the point to where, you know, I'm a whole lot more confident now. In front of people, on stage, in front of crowds, you know?
Right.
Yeah,
yeah,
like you said,
I was very, I was nervous, man. I was young, I was nervous, you know, private guy, not used to being in front of crowds and not knowing how crowds work, you know? I wasn't there yet.
And it takes time, because you have to find your voice. You know, being in the public arena like you are, you know, being an introvert, a certain level of insular, dealing with individuals who you're close with, it's kind of hard to be able to be an extrovert at that point of the show. It's like, you know, like anything. It's like when King and myself, you know, when King started this, I came along later with it. We were still trying to find our voice and just learn our way. But as we grew with this, we learned, you know, and a lot of time, and really all the time, our guests really made it so much easier for us. You know, we've always felt so blessed to do what we do because of being able, I mean, who thought, did a kid from North Carolina himself and a kid from Virginia, me, we would be interviewing legends like yourself, people we grew up listening to and really like and
building. That's how the energy works, man. I love it, man. Man, that's y'all, man, shout out to both of y'all brothers, man. You know, y'all definitely the embodiment of hip hop energy, man. You know, it takes this energy and everything that you guys are doing, man, to bring this to where it's at right now. You know, not just with Imam Thug, but everyone else that you guys have put on your platform, you guys have put that energy in place, man, and that's a big contribution to the hip hop community, in my opinion, man. I appreciate y'all for that.
And what we appreciate about yourself and others we've had on the show is that, Imam, is that, you know, we pride ourselves on the fact that we always want to treat our guests with respect. We want to really, really, between having legends, we don't discriminate on who we've had on this show. We've had people that sold millions of records. We've had people that were just getting out there. And our thing was, we don't care. We're just happy to have you on. If we think the music is dope, we're going to have you on, and we're going to roll out the red carpet for everybody, no matter, because, you know, so many times, especially in this era, King and myself, you know, we talk about this on air, off air, me and my bro, we always kind of lament with certain individual who shall remain nameless about how they have their platforms, but it's more of a clown show. It's really exploitation, but it's not real journalism. And we were like, that's our vision, it off the cuff. We don't want to do that. We're not going to do that.
See?
Nah, that's what it takes. We feel appreciated. We don't want to feel interrogated.
Exactly.
Listen, man. Listen, we understand that the people want to know what the people want to know at the end of the day, man. Trust me, I get that. You know what I'm saying? I get that. So I'm not holding nothing against any journalist with any question or anything like that, because I know how to handle myself. You know, but
right.
At the end of the day, you know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, I get exactly what you guys are saying, and I do respect you, you know what I'm saying, for holding that standard, man, because everybody ain't got them standards.
Yeah, because, you know, we're not some shady chasers, man. Like, you know, we ain't going, before the interview going air, we ain't going to Mickey or nothing and have you and ask you crazy questions.
Man, listen, I'm going to tell you right now, son, I'm open to any questions, man. I'm serious, because I'm like, you know, the thing about Imam, you know, I'm floating on a different, you know, on a different time wave, man, in the sense of, you know what I'm saying, how I keep myself level and I keep myself balanced, man. You know, and it's not based off of, you know what I'm saying, envy, malice, or none of that shit, you know. I'm just here trying to finish up what I started.
Definitely, man. So as you keep going, who would you like to work with in terms of who you haven't worked with yet, from anywhere, up north, down south, and which movements do you feel with artists who you've seen are like really, really, really doing it big right now, who you really, really, really are enjoying?
Man. Well, shit, man. I mean, I have so many different favorite producers that I would like to work with, man. I don't even think I could say them all.
We got time. Go ahead. Yeah. We got time. Go ahead.
I know that Scott Storch has always been one of my favorites. I always love Scott
Storch.
Yeah, Storch.
That boy bad, man. On the keys.
Those keys. I love his.
I don't care
his,
what problems that dude had. He is still nice with it.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Everybody has some type of problem of joint shape, form, or fashion, man.
Right.
You know what I'm Everybody got some type of problem. I have some type of problem. That's for damn sure. So we can't never knock a motherfucker for having a situation. Everybody got a situation. Man.
I fuck with
Scott Storch. I fuck with Dr. Dre, too. I love Dr. Dre. You know what I'm saying? Shit, man. VA got a lot of hot talent too over there. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I'm just a musical guy. I think that I've come out of that one dimensional shell. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just gonna make one type of music and that's it. Like, I'm out of that. You know, I'm like a multi dimensional artist right now with my artistry, man. So I'm open to all kinds of music.
And that's dope, man.
You know what's also dope too is the verses that's going on, and that's giving a lot of artists new light, introducing their catalogs to a new generation of people. And you know, one verses I would love to see, and this would really set the bar right here. Got to bring a lot of security. We need to have Queensbridge versus the Bronx.
That's definitely a lot of security. That's definitely a lot of security. That's a whole lot of security right there. That's a whole lot of security.
We gotta reignite the bridge wars.
Oh man, the bridge got enough wars right now, man. That's a fact, man. We got enough wars right now. So, you know, I think that we just got to get back to just making high level music, you know? Just high-level music, man, not, you know what I'm saying, lowering our standards musically, just holding our music artistry to higher standards, you know what I'm saying? That's what I think that, you know, that's what I'm on. I can't speak for everybody, but that's what I'm on. I'm challenging myself to be more of a musician, more of an artist, opposed to just being a rapper, a guy who just rapping over beats. I want to be an artist, a musician that can take any beat and make it music. You know what I'm saying? The Imam Thug way, without losing myself or being out of character. You know what I mean? So yeah, it's a lot of balance there. But you know, we've obtained that balance, man. We living in the balance right now. That's a fact.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's about just moving the culture forward, man. I think, and that's what's the most
moving
important
the culture
because,
forward.
You know, because to be pragmatic in, you know, the position is all about elevation. And I think where we've kind of gotten to a place where we've seen more exposure from a lot of artists. As you said, you're a very, very private guy, which is totally okay and understandable. But then we see a lot of times some people who are so eager to put themselves out there in a way that sometimes the energy they put out is not always the most positive.
Right. That's very true. And a lot of people can say that about a lot of my music too. I can put a lot of music out there that might not be the most positive vibe that you can get because I'm a street guy too. At the end of the day, that is my DNA. You know, even though we can flip the energy and different things like that, but we still are who we are, and we still communicate to the people that communicate with us that can understand us. You know what I'm saying? I've been in corporate America. I've learned that, but I'm still, you know what I'm saying, the same guy. I'm still this guy. I'm still a guy from the Queensbridge, from the projects. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're still that dude. So, you know, we still have to deal with certain battles and different things like that, you know what I'm saying, to keep us balanced, man. And that comes through the music for me as a form of expression, of me expressing myself or from feeling however I'm feeling. You know, that's what music is there for. It's a form of expression.
Now, do you care the difference?
Yeah.
Do you care to tell our audience what the difference between the two worlds and dealing with corporate America and dealing with the streets?
The difference between dealing with corporate America and dealing with the streets? The difference between dealing with corporate America, when you're dealing with corporate America, you have certain guidelines and parameters that you have to, you know, stay within, because if you're not within those parameters, then you can become subject to, a default in business, man, where you can get your shit shut down and, you know, you might owe money. If you're not operating right, you get all jammed up, man. You got to operate the right way when you're doing business. In the streets, it ain't no rules. You know what I'm saying? Ain't no rules in the streets, man. Ain't no rules. Ain't no parameters. Ain't no guidelines in the streets. Everything's a go in the streets. That's the difference right there.
Yeah, you know, and that's real, you know. And I think sometimes, you know, what you said, Imam, is real, because a lot of times a lot of these artists have trouble separating their business life from the street life. How is it important when an artist coming into the game who's fresh off the block, who really, really was out there and really, you know, with the shits in it, how important is it for them to understand the transition in terms of the different rules that apply and how to conduct yourself in a fashion that makes people comfortable doing business with you and not looking at you as a lethal liability?
You got to be ready for it. You know, individual, you got to be ready for it. You know, you got to be ready to step into that space. Because if you're not ready to step into that space, then it's not going to happen for you. You got to be ready for it. You know, you got to be ready to take it on. You know, once you submit to like, all right, this is what I'm going to do, this is how I got to do this, then you want to make sure that you do it that way because you're ready. But if you're not ready, even when you try to go that way, it's not going to work for you because you're not ready. Shit going to go left. You know, it's just the way it is. You know, if you're not ready for something, it's going to go left. You know, I was prepared for this project and prepared to put this project out. That's why, you know, I'm on a full steam ahead with it and I got a clear vision on it. There is no going left or none of that here. You know, we clear where we'll be going.
Yeah, and that's important because I think a lot of times, too, artists get caught up in not looking at the long game in terms of understanding, like, when you get into this, this is about longevity that you're trying to accomplish in reference to what you are putting forward. You know, this is something that, you know, when we look at it, I always tell this story on the show. I have every Source magazine since 1994. I have every XXL from 1997.
Wow.
Yeah, Fisher. I still have some of those. I still have those Iron Sheik advertisements that the source ran. I got to send them to you.
Nice. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, man. Classic.
Yeah. But yeah, but it's like so I said that to say in terms of understanding how artists move in terms of how everybody gets the opportunity, you know, how many artists get an opportunity, but not many of them always are going to have that opportunity in terms of being able to make it in the game. So we've seen, when you're talking about those magazines over years.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, but when you look at those situations, you're talking about people who at times don't always make the most of those. And when you're looking at so many rappers from everywhere, I mean, especially how hard back then it was to get out there. I mean, you know, and now what it is now, it's like, you know, I think a lot of artists really have to understand the position they're in terms of when you get this opportunity, once that door opens just a crack, you've got to get it right in terms of how you conduct yourself.
That's right. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
You know, we've seen some, you know, unfortunately over the years that, you know, they didn't necessarily understand the gift that they had in terms of the opportunities. And, you know, some they did it and made the most of it, and some they fell, you know, by the wayside of it. When you look at guys like Nipsey in terms of where he was, how important is it to build a local buzz in terms of your hood, of really getting that stamp from you, you know, everyone around you in terms of before you really make it to the mainstream in terms of everybody knowing your name?
Well, oh man, for me it was, I mean, I think it's important. You know, for me, it was super cool, man. A lot of people didn't even know I was Imam Dog in the projects, man. Nobody had a clue.
Oh, wow. You were anonymous.
Like, yeah. They was like, Imam Dog, who's that? Yo, that's Kruger. They was like, Kruger's Imam Dog? They was like, yeah. They was like, oh, shit. They had no clue. So, yeah. They have like, the guys they know for a while who, yeah, man. So, you know, I think that I got the stamp. I had the stamp of approval just being from the streets. You know, then when I did the music, I got the stamp of approval too, man. So it was all good, man. It was all good. You know what I'm saying? It's still all good. You know, I still got the approval. I was in the projects the other day. You know what I'm saying? Nothing but love all day, every day, man. You know, they know what it is. We here to represent.
And it's just dope to see how everybody, though, we can go back to your own hood and everybody. Like, we saw that picture of Nas, you know, a couple of weeks ago. He just sitting out there on the beach chair out in the block and just, like, not a care in the world.
That's right. We love Esco.
Yeah,
you know,
man.
That's a whole fact.
But, and the one thing about it is, I think that's an understated element a lot of people don't really understand, Imam, is how important it is to maintain those ties with the hood, because when you got a lot of individuals, you know, when you look at guys like E-40, you know, when you look at guys like Nas, you know, when you look at guys like GZ, you know, when you look at guys like Rick Ross, you know, they can still go back to the hood, and it's not a problem in terms of, you know, like, it's just going to be an issue. Like, they can go back and just chop it up with everybody like it's like they just regular.
With the pressures of celebrity, how refreshing is it sometimes to just go back home and just be that regular guy that everybody knew growing up?
It's very, I'm not going to say it's difficult, but it's very interesting, man, in a way that, you know, you want to hang out, you know what I'm saying, like, you know, you used to, but you really can't, but you want to, but you really can't. So it's just kind of weird. It's a weird space. I didn't really understand that until, you know, recently, but not recently, but years ago, I didn't understand it, man. But I understand it more, you know what I'm saying? I understand it a little bit more now, you understand? But, you know, even when I went out to the bridge of the day, you know, I go to the Ave, I go to my block, you know, I'm chilling, you know, but it's not like I can't chill all day. You feel me? Like, I can't chill all day and chill all night, too. Like, you know, it's just...
Right.
It's just not, you can't do that today like you did yesterday. Yeah.
Right.
Just, you know, man, just can't do it. We got too much. We can't stay in one spot like that, like today.
Yeah, and we know what you're getting at, because a lot of artists we talked to on and off there said the same thing about it, because, you know, we don't necessarily want to get pointed with what I'm about to say, but we just got to keep it real and off the cuff, you know. And you know, obviously you've been able to do what you've been doing for a very long time, and you've been successful. You've made a good living out of it. And the situation, like anything, wherever you go, no matter who it is, you know, you could have an individual who has, you know, made hundreds of thousands in the industry. You can have an individual who's made millions of dollars in the industry. But after you get to a certain point, the utmost imperative is how to maintain your safety for you, your loved ones, and, you know, everything. Because, of course, if you get in some trouble, lawyer fees are a bitch. Trust, we know.
Golly, it is.
That's a fact. Well, the thing is, too, man, you know, at the end of the day, man, the streets don't love nobody. And,
right.
You know what I'm saying? The trust factor is not at the highest level. And, you know, when you consider all of those things, man, you know, me personally, man, most times I can't even trust myself if I'm in the bridge longer than time I need to be there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? If I'm there for more time I need to be there, then I can't trust myself, because I might get stupid. I got to watch myself, too, you know, just to be honest and off the cuff with it.
That's real. But that's the type of honesty and candor. That's called knowledge of self, and that's the most important, you know, because, you know, when people, you know, understand who they are in terms of, because you, at the end of the day, you know, you can't run away from who you are. All you do is make sure you don't put yourself in those positions where things can happen, you know, and if you know certain places could put you in a certain frame of mind that will cause you to do something that is not, you know, of the most safety for you or your fam, you know, then that's what it is. I tell people, you know, this is one thing that I will absolutely have all the convictions in the world saying. To anybody out there who's successful, you did it the right way. You don't have anything to apologize for. You don't have nothing to prove to nobody. You know,
that's a fact.
At the end of
that's
the day, the critics don't pay your bills. Your business is what pays your bills, and that's the business you need to mind. What pays you and what keeps you out of trouble? You know, because
sure,
when you're, yeah, man, when you got people out there that may
trouble
not
is
have
easy to, it's easy to get into, and it's hard to get out of. That's what they say.
It is.
That's a fact. We know all about it. Yeah, man. Absolutely. But Queensbridge, man, Queensbridge is home, man. You know, a lot of work, man, got put in there. You know, a lot of memories, a lot of, you know, man, a lot of great things, man, a lot of great adventures, you know. We got a lot of solid, you know, ingredients, man, you know, that got poured into us, man, from growing up there, that allowed us to be able to, you know, make it this far, or be able to, you know, navigate the waters that we're able to navigate against all odds and still be fruitful in our journey, you know what I'm saying, because of the armor that we obtained, you know, out there in the field.
Yeah, man. I mean, we know about the musical history, but tell us about some of the individuals that are not known in the game out there, the street legends. You know, shout out some of those guys and girls that really, like, you know, helped shape all of you and mold you, the OGs, the gangsters and the gangsterettes, you know, living and dead, past and present. Tell us about some of those people out there that helped raise y'all.
I mean, you had guys like Felton, man, rest in peace, Felton, man, you know, different things like that, guys who actually laid the footprint for Queensbridge, the community, you know, showing us what it's like to be a community, you know, and different things like that, you know. And then you had, you know, a lot of the older brothers who was running things in the community center, recenter, different things like that, who organized a lot of the basketball games and you know, had computers downstairs for the kids to learn after school programs and different things like that. So it was more than just, you know, saying the Hustlers, you know, and different things like that that was in Queensbridge. We also had our elders, our peers, who was community activists, man, who did a lot of things for the community that, you know, we didn't probably, you know, me, myself, I didn't really understand the magnitude of it until I got older of how that game was played. But, yeah, man, they kept us as a community. That's why we are a community as Queensbridge, and we are, you know, we stand with each other, you know. I love all my QB brothers, man, everybody. You know, everybody that hold a mic, and if you don't hold a mic, it don't even matter. If you're from Queensbridge, you know we got love for you. Yeah, that's a fact. That's a whole fact. That's how we got to keep it, man.
Yeah. And, I mean, of course, the Q Borough is known as a project over there, but, I mean, when we look at Queens as a whole, I mean, when we look at guys, you know, like Ja Rule, Kool G Rap, you know, everybody who represents it. I mean, what is the, in terms of that whole pedigree from the project, you know, to the city, you know, Farmers, Hollis, all of that, Run DMC represent. I mean, what is it like in terms of that whole family, in terms of just that whole bond and that kinship when all of you do cross paths and meet with each other?
Man, I think it's just all love, man. I think it's just all love, man. You know, a lot of times, a lot of brothers, man, at least, you know, who I came up with or who I witnessed come up, you know what I'm saying, from my neighborhood, you know what I'm saying, QB, is we all knew each other before rap. Like, I knew Trash before he spit his first rhyme, and he was rhyming since he was 13 years old. So, you know, I mean,
yeah.
I knew Nas before he knew how to rhyme, and Wiz and all of them, Hoss, all of them, you know, Nature. You know, all of them, Havoc, we all know each other, man. You know, they all know me very well before they were MCs and all of that. So,
yeah, we can't forget Mike DeLorean and Ron Artest either. We can't forget those guys. Oh,
man. Mike DeLorean, that's my dude. That's my dude. You know, and Ron is family. That's all family, man. That's the whole fact.
Yeah.
Shout out
man.
To the whole QB,
he
man.
Yeah,
Killer Kids, everybody.
Bridge.
What happened?
He brought a ring to the bridge.
He brought a ring to the bridge, man. That's a fact, man.
How huge was that?
Well, I think Son brought the whole wildin' concept to the NBA, man. Son brought the whole Queensbridge wildin' concept to the NBA. Well, Son started old then. I was like, yo, Son. The boy was like, yo, Son, wildin'.
I'd be the Malice of the Palace in 2004. But if you remember him at St. John's, you know, back in 98, you know, he was still bringing it. You know what I'm saying?
That's a fact. That's right, man. Yeah, we be proud of Ron, man. We still proud of Ron. You know, we're going to always be proud of Ron, man. You know, he did great things for the neighborhood. He continues to do that. You know, he's a staple in the community, man. And he ain't nothing but love for Artest. That's a fact.
True warrior himself, man. And, you know, just
true
to
warrior.
See, you know. You know, just to
he made
see, you know, but.
He made them change the NBA dress code for real. He was, when he broke the bridge out there, he left the NBA shook.
That's a fact. You know that.
Dennis, you know, Rodman, he kind of had them on their tippy toes, but. He ain't really scare him like that.
Nah, just the QB. We ain't really into the weirdo motherfuckers like that either, man. We real on point with the weirdo guys. We don't like your funny looking motherfuckers. All respect to Dennis Rodman, but you know what I'm saying? Yeah, we real. We different with some people, man.
It's just a trip though, because I remember if you look at that documentary, the documentary is on Netflix now, The Mouth and the Palace one. I was like, what made these guys think you're going to start something with for Queensbridge and a dude from Port Arthur, Texas, Steven Jackson? Like, what was your thing? At the same time.
I'm like, y'all know these dudes is, like, going to handle it. I'm like,
you know that.
But. You know, but I think a lot of people have to understand, you know, when you grow up in certain environments,
a lot of times people really don't understand, you know, how certain things affect you in terms of, you know, what you're around and what you experience. And, you know, that's just part of the DNA. You know, as you get older, you learn how to, especially once you've gotten into a professional position, in terms of how important it is to have a certain, you know, to control it. I mean, but when, you know, when there's that habitual line stepping, like we saw that night at the Malice of the Palace, look, understandably done, all that shit went out the window. What did Bugs Bunny say? Of course you realize this means war.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's a throwback for you right there.
Yeah, man, it's like, I'm like, y'all ain't going to be I'm like, the thing was, like I tell heads, I'm like, look, you ain't going to habitually be violating on them dudes, and it ain't going to be no payback from it. So, I mean, that's just how
man,
it goes.
The payback is inevitable, man. Anytime you fuck up, the payback is inevitable.
Yeah, man. But that's just, But the one thing about it where we look at all those elements, but the inspiration to see what you all have overcome and to see you all become such positive, you know, forces in the community in terms of really understanding, you know, as you all get older, your importance in terms of how important it is to maintain that standard in everything. It is a very we've just seen hip-hop go in very different places, and while all of it has not been bad, some of it has gotten into a place where we just wonder exactly how it got to this point. When you look at certain trends in terms of fashions, you know, when you look at just certain antics, where do you think it went wrong in some areas in terms of what we're seeing heads do that we know in our era they would not have done?
I think just people just, you know, just listening to anything. Just, I don't know, people just, I'm not saying they're falling for anything. I think it's just certain music is just, I think that it's just being pushed. Certain music is being pushed, man. And I don't know. I don't even know if it's too much being pushed, man. I think it's just a cycle that we're going through, man. I think that every few years or so, there's a cycle of music that takes place, man. You know, man. That's what I think we're in right now. We're in a cycle, and you know, the shit has to run its course. I think that's what it is, man. You know, in my opinion, man, I think we're just in a cycle, and it just has to run its course. Like if you look at all the music that transpired through the 80s, 90s, and 2000s, man, it was just a generation of music that was just taking its course. You had like Ludacris and that whole vibe he had going on. You had Lil Jon, that whole vibe. Like it was just like a whole different cycle of music that was just taking course. And right now we're in another cycle that's taking its course. That's what I think.
Yeah. You know, when we think about it, though, Imam, when we think about it in terms of how everything's being played now on the radio, pretty much music video shows are semi-non-existent now because YouTube is pretty much what we go for now. But when we look at how we grew up, like, you know, the radio, all the radio stations back in the day didn't necessarily have that corporate interest. So you didn't have playlists in terms of, we didn't have these corporate interests in terms of people who were dictating the playlists. Like the DJs actually got to break records. You know, Yo MTV Raps, Video Music Box, Rap City, you know, King and the Hill. We grew up listening to all of that. You know, this is where we, like, found, like, all the new shit. You know what I'm saying? And it's like now, and it's like now you got these button people pushers who are, who are basically, you know, trying to dictate what the masses are, you know, in terms what the style is. Like everybody got mad when Nas said hip hop is dead, you know, and what he meant was how we kind of understood it as dead, you know, but the culture is alive forever, you know.
That's a fact.
Yeah, but it's about what's being pushed now. What do you think it takes for everyone to open up in terms of, because I've always heard a saying, and I guess we're living proof of that. They say the real hip-hoppers don't watch, you know, don't listen to the radio. The real hip-hoppers are reading the magazines and reading the blogs and, you know, watching YouTube in terms of seeing who the new guys are and girls coming out. Like when we look at Griselda, when we look at, when we look at guys like, got to give a shout out to the California guys, give a shout out to Stupid Young and MB Mill, you know, Cam and China. Yeah. I mean, we got to look at, you know, so many artists from all over, man, who are like, you know, Baby Keem. I think he's a Kendrick's protege. I mean, we're looking at all these artists who are off, you know, who are really doing their thing. I mean, when you look at it, how do you think the music, how do we get back to the music being, having more encompassing in terms of just focusing on one particular act, but giving everybody a shine in terms of like who's just dope, but not who has the most press time of, you know, shenanigans?
Right. I think that's going to spew from the music. You know, I think that the opportunity, for that to happen is in the air. You know, it's for anyone to grasp, in my opinion. It's just a matter of the music. You know, who's gonna have the music that's gonna, identify with that. You know, who's gonna have the music that's gonna transcend that time and still stick to, you know, what we enjoy, what we like to do. You know, a lot of people say, oh, man, you're trying to be the 90s back now. We don't try to be the 90s back. We just want a feeling, you know what I'm saying? So it's just about transcending the feeling. That's really what it is. You can transcend the feeling through music as well. It don't got to be the music that you're used to. It can just be the style that gives you the feeling that transcends the music, transcends through the music. You know, that's just my take on it.
Yeah, you know, and I give this a disclaimer before I say it, because on Off the Cuff, we don't care if you're gay, black, straight, transsexual, whatever.
That's right.
You know, we got
That's
love
right.
for everybody. We love everyone in terms
That's
of
fact.
Humanity. But I'm saying
That's
this, and I said that to say, like, when we look at what's going on with Lil Nas X and all his shenanigans, but King and myself is like, it's not the fact that he's gay. It's like, dude, I'm like, are you using, you know, your lifestyle to really try to, yeah, but I'm like,
you're not surprised, though. You're not surprised, man. You know what I'm saying? You know we're not surprised. We've been hearing about these things, man, you know what I'm saying, in the industry for a long time. I think it's just that now, I think that now is just being really, you know, pushed to the front, like at the highest level. You know, which is, you know what I'm saying, probably not ideal for children. I mean, for grown folks, people can make their own decisions. Grown people can make their own decisions on what they want to see or what they want to listen to, you know, different things like that. But for the youth who may be, easily inspired or, you know, swayed and different things like that, you know, struggling with identity problems and stuff like that, that can be, you know, a little problematic, I would think, man. You know, so.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, that's not really, you know what I mean? I'm not in favor of that, to be honest with you. I'm not knocking anybody for their identity or anything, but I really don't, you know what I'm saying, support, like pushing certain things, kids like that, you know.
Yeah, and I think even from the academics of it, Imam, I think it's just about the fact that, dude, it's like all he does. I'm like, where are we really going to have that transcendent song that really, with Steve Lacy, dope-ass artist out of Compton, he recently came out as bisexual. I've gone on this show's record saying I'm a huge Steve Lacy fan, but that guy's music is on another level. He is on another level in terms of, I would tell anybody, if you fuse Prince and Pharrell's musical style, that's what you get with him. The dude is a fucking genius, and he's not even 25.
That's incredible.
Shout out to Issa Rae I got to mention all the people. Issa Rae, because she profiled one of his songs on her series, Insecure.
Yeah, Issa Rae. Issa Rae, the show Insecure on HBO. She's always made a point to give shine to the new artist. And Steve, and even if Steve likes both ends of it, it's like the dude's talent is, he's not using shenanigans to push his talent. The dude's talent stands on its own. With Nas X, it's like every 5 seconds, he's doing something to make everybody say, look at me, look at me. Okay, well, we're looking at you, but do you have any real good music coming behind it? Like, the dude recently did a maternity photo shoot, and I'm looking at this like,
that was really disturbing, you know. But, there's a whole different lifestyle in a different world, man, that caters to that energy. And, it's just that's just what it is. You know, that's just what it is. So we're not here to, like, you know, to kind of like fight or dispute the freedom of artistry. You know, the freedom of artistry. That's not what it is. I think that, at least for me, you know, it's all about, that exact thing, the freedom of artistry. You know, the freedom of expression and different things like that. People are going to gravitate to what they want to gravitate to. It's for us, you know, like artists like Imam Thug and the music that I like to bring out. You know what I'm saying? I want people to gravitate to this energy the same way, you know what I'm saying, you know, not synonymously, but the same way they would gravitate to anything else, you know what I mean? Just because it's not, you know what I'm saying, a crazy fucking to the left, you know what I'm saying, whole situation, doesn't mean that, you know what I'm saying, the music community can't embrace the music. So we got to kind of get back to the music and, you know, not so much on whether, you know, someone got, you know, they drip in a skirt, you know? Motherfuckers talking about they drip the skirt and all this, and we'll be, you know, we ain't trying to, you know, put no skirts on and no crazy shit like that. But know what I mean? We ain't trying to drip no skirts. We ain't gonna see Mom thugging no crazy shit like that. But for those who do it, I'm not knocking what they do at all. That's just, you know, like what people do in that genre of music, man. It's just, we have different genres of music, man. We just have to cater to what we like.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's why it's important.
I know that's kind of like a stiff arm way of looking at things, but
I think that's the way shit is kind of
set up for us right now. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, damn, you either take that shit or you leave it. You either take this shit or you leave it. It wasn't like that before. It was kind of more universal before, but now it's like, you know, damn, you need to take it or leave it type of deal. Yeah.
But you know, we talk about this all the time, man, and, you know, as all of us being men here, you know, we grew up, you know, King and myself, we grew up in an era where the game, the entry point of the game is different. Even keeping it real, back in the day, hip-hop, you know, going back 35 years ago, was more of an independent endeavor. So you had a lot of independent labels. Nobody believed in it. Like, nobody believed in rock and roll, that it would actually last. So there was nobody really dictating to us how it should sound, because we were doing it ourselves. Once the corporate entities came into it, you know, this goes beyond sex or gender. This goes beyond orientations. This just goes beyond people who did not come up in the culture, no matter what color they were, because you're black doesn't mean you understand hip hop culture.
That's a fact.
You know, but you got people who got into it, who started, how do I say this? They started writing the rules from what we originally had the rules as. And then when you got a lot of these youngins coming in now, because when we look at the game now, we saw a lot of rappers. Now, LL, of course, was 15 when he first got in. But when you look at a lot of rappers across the board, you know, like Kool G Rap, Public Enemy, you know, MC Shan, KRS, you know, these were, you know, Roxanne, Shantae, MC Light, Queen Latifah.
Yes.
They were all a little older when they got in. So there was a certain level –
Well, Shantae was kind of young too when she got in too.
That's true. You're right.
Yeah, she was real young. She was real young when she got in.
She got in.
Yeah. And she was
yeah,
bad.
Yeah, man.
But
yeah.
her trajectory was different from her upbringing, from where she was from. So I guess I said that to say you see a lot of these young kids coming in now who really are just, they just want to get heard, and they don't know how they get heard. But to their own peril
right.
and endangering their reputation, they will do whatever it takes to get heard, but not understanding long-term in terms of how might this affect me. I will never forget what Fonte said in an interview years ago. He said, you want to make music at 22 that you're not ashamed of listening to when you're 32.
That's right. That's right. That's that universal.
You don't
that's
look
that
at
universal music.
Like, damn.
Yeah, but you know what? When you're young, you know you do a lot of shit, man. You know. Hey, man, we're not proud of a lot of things we've done in the past, but I know that, you know.
Right.
Today, and I'm saying like, you know, a lot of records I make today, or you know, in my opinion, are a lot of better than the records I made in the past. And the only reason why I say that is because, you know, I'm a better artist today than I was in the past. And that takes nothing away from what I did. You know, it's just that, you know, you become better, you know? You
right,
become
the growth.
Better. Yeah, it's big growth. You become better, you know? And, but the whole balance of it is to become better in a better way. Don't become better
right.
in a corny way. You know what I mean? Don't come better in a corny way. Come better in a better way.
Yeah. And that and the thing is, people got to understand, money. Oh, go ahead, King. Go ahead.
I was saying there's levels to all this.
That's a whole fact.
And King made a great point on his Facebook status about it, which I just had to just do the golf clap. Because it's like when he talks about how, you know, how everybody will say such and such is better when they talk about their net worth. I'm like, no, it doesn't matter how much money somebody has that their album is great or why somebody's album is great because of how much money they have. I'm like,
that's all I've been hearing. Even with this over there with the Kanye and Drake thing. I mean, I seen a post yesterday
yeah.
where somebody was talking about, man, Kanye sold tickets, he sold this network, he could generate this. I'm like, but what's the music at? Nobody talk about
right.
it. They can't tell you three good songs off the shit.
Right.
That's exactly what I'm hearing. I heard the same thing. I heard he sold $15 million in merch in like 3 days, but I didn't hear a record. I didn't hear
good for
a
him.
Record that a single. I didn't hear nothing about the music.
Yeah, good for him.
You know. Yeah.
We like the music.
Yeah.
Where's the music?
Exactly.
Yeah. And, I mean, that whole record, man, I mean, you know, one thing about it is Kanye is a genius, no two ways about it, in terms of what he has accomplished, you
Absolutely.
Know, just for College Dropout alone.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, even with Dark Twisted Fantasy, I mean, those two albums alone, well, we really take it, his first four or five albums are just unbelievable.
You could take it before that. You could take it when Kanye was just a producer and nobody wanted him to rhyme. Nobody even wanted him to spit anything. And that's the same way, not to go off track a little bit, but that's the same way with Steve Solo.
No, it's okay.
You know what I'm saying? Steve Solo. I'm not
Steve.
Sure if you're familiar. Yeah, Steve Solo, a.k.a. Throw Lot of Goat. That's what I call him. You know, like, His talent exceeds mixing, engineering, and mastering. You know, he's not just a guy who's a mixer, a master of engineering shit. This guy does phenomenal production. You know what I'm saying? This guy plays the guitar, he plays instruments. He's actually featured on my second single. He wrote the chorus, he sang the chorus, and he did the production. I swear to God, and V12 is on the record, spitting bars on the record, incredible. It's just going to blow your mind, I'm telling you right now. So, you know, this whole thing here, man, you know, this whole body of work that we got going on, man, it's historical, and it's an amazing body of work. Everybody has the freedom to be the best artist that they can be, you know, be immortal. You know, that's what this project is. And everybody is on that immortal shit. That means that they are, know, so that talent has transcended time.
Yeah, and that's called it's timeless. Well, we had Steve on the show a couple of years ago. Shout out to the Knicks King, man. Great
shout out to
ours.
The Knicks King.
Yeah, man. How was it? How did y'all end up coming together in terms of when y'all? What were the talks like in terms of, you know, getting him to be on the project?
I mean, it was pretty simple, man. I mean, Steve, now he's, you know, me and Steve been good friends for 20 years, man. You know, so. You know, we've done a lot of work together. You know, he was the first person that put me and Prodigy in the room together to work together.
Mm.
You know,
yeah,
on a song called
yeah.
The Recipe. You know, rest in peace to Prodigy, man. You know, me and him, me and P got to really sit down and build, you know, burn it down and just build. You know, and I received a lot of energy from him, man. You know, that was untold energy, you know. Like, I never really explained to nobody, like, about that energy, you know, but I received a lot of energy from him, man. You know, he's a very deep, you know, he was a very deep brother, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, man, he had a lot of energy with him, man. That's a fact. So, you know, so shout out to Steve Solar also for, you know, giving me some of that energy, man. He allowed me to be in that room and receive that energy and, you know, That was important to me, and it still is, man. But, you know, Steve, when I decided to do the project, Steve was like, you know, he jumped on board right away. You know, it wasn't a second. I didn't have to ask him twice or nothing, man. He actually was the first person to send me beats and everything, man. He sent me, like, 4 tracks, you know,
oh,
to my
wow.
email.
That's love.
Yeah, man.
That's love.
Yeah, yeah, he was the first one. He got in the foxhole with me ASAP without a second guess. You know, so he's mixing and mastering the album and all that, and our videos and everything, too. He's doing all the sound for our videos, you know, the mixing of the sound on our videos and all that kind of stuff. You
know?
Man, we're keeping everybody busy over here, man. You know, we got video guys, we got our sound guys, we got our, you know, the artists that are doing their thing. You know, we got the Empire Dream Productions moving out, you know, that's handling everything, you know, things like that. The Oracle, shout out to the Oracle. You know, we got our machine, man, and we run it.
I mean, in terms of that running, man, you know, y'all got all the momentum of the universe to keep going because the marathon is always going to be magnificent. Imam, we are closing in on the end of this tremendousness. Dude, we cannot thank you enough so much. Man, I mean, the history, the lessons, the inspiration, you know, we really have enjoyed this. And you know you're welcome back anytime, man. I mean, that goes without saying.
I appreciate y'all,
we love the
people. Yes. Before we get off air,
appreciate
any shout-outs you want? Yeah, we appreciate you, man.
Yeah.
Thank you. Any shout-outs you want to give before we go off for the night?
Absolutely, man. First of all, I want to shout-out QB, man. I want to shout-out, you know what I'm saying, the whole 696. You know what I'm saying? Everybody stay on their grizzly, stay on their grind, man. You know what I'm saying? Keep, you know what I'm saying? Stay on your 1-2, you know? I want to shout-out, you know what I'm saying, Empire Dream Productions, you know what I'm saying, the Oracle, my man V12, the Black Sinatra. You feel me? You know what I'm saying? Shit, man, throw a lot of GOAT. You know what I'm saying? Everybody that's on the team, man, you know, Lord Jazz, you know what I'm saying, Sincere, you know, the whole team, man, everybody on the Immortal Legend train right now, man. I want to thank everybody, man. I'm grateful for everybody that's a part of this journey with me. That's a whole fact.
Look, and praise and, you know, most blessings to the Most High for you to still, you know, be doing this on this journey and for us to be a part of it in terms of you sharing your story with us, in terms of those tremendous, you know, reflections, you know, and always moving forward, man. It's
absolutely,
dude, I mean, this has been an honor. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you.
Oh, man, the pleasure is all mine, fellas, man. You know, hopefully you guys, you know, as we continue to move on this journey, you know, so we can double back, you know what I'm saying, and do another great show for the people, man, for the community, for the hip-hop community.
At the end of it, you know, one thing about it, man, yeah, the essence is all-encompassing, it's eternal, and it's all about bringing that contagiousness of positivity to the community, keeping
Indeed.
It a full 360. You know, yeah,
Indeed.
Man.
Indeed, my brothers. Indeed, man.
You know,
I appreciate both of y'all, man.
Definitely,
definitely. Man.
Likewise.
Oh, one last thing before I let y'all go, man. I just want
sure,
to remind
sure.
the people, everybody, if you haven't seen the video, to check the Yo-Yo-Yo video featuring V12 the Black Sinatra, produced by DJ Modesty, to go to my bio, hit the link in my bio, watch the video, leave your comments, you know what I'm saying? Check out the shop, check out the merch and all the cool stuff we got there, man. And the single's out, man. The single's out. Check out Yo-Yo-Yo is out on all streaming platforms, man. You know, add it to your playlist. You know, clean your house to it, man. Whatever you feel, you know. We here for the community, for the hip-hop community,
good
man.
Vibes.
Feeding that food. Facts.
Good vibes everywhere, man. High vibrations for all for the sensation, man.
Indeed. Indeed, brothers. Indeed. Peace and blessings to y'all, my brothers.
Definitely, man.
Yeah, man. On that note, we up out of here. Be sure to get that project out now.
Jip.
Check it, yo, yo, yo.